Get your Bibles out and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'll read the first verse, you read verse 2 with me, and really we're going to look this morning at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and I'm going to point some things out to you. Let's read the first three verses there. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and I'll close with verse number 3. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. And Lord, I wish this to be a helpful time. Please, Lord, I know some have never heard this. I know some have heard this many times. So I wish, Lord, please, strengthen us as your people. And Lord, help us to know why we do what we do. And Lord, thank you for your word. Please, Lord, we just trust you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You have to understand what's happening. In Romans 15, it makes mention of the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's important that you understand that. Most people think the greatest church of the New Testament was Jerusalem. It wasn't. It was Paul's home church. It was Antioch. That was the church that sent Paul out and sent him out again where he planted churches and sent him out. The church of Jerusalem didn't go soul winning like it was supposed to till it was persecuted, and then it went bankrupt. So the church in Jerusalem is not a good model church for us to model after, because they needed, Paul makes mention, of support from the other churches he had started. Now, where does this go? Here in this passage, the word Macedonia is what we would call modern-day Greece. Okay? So you have Asia Minor, which would be Turkey, right, if you were looking at it. And as Paul went into Macedonia, which would be, like I said, that's going to include Greece and then further into Europe, he says here, when we needed help, you gave to us. And somebody said, what does this have to do with missions? Do you understand that part of the world? It's different countries, right? Asia Minor, as you're looking at the map, Greece, and then you get into Italy and Europe. They were in a different country. They said, you supplied us help to our church when we needed it in Macedonia. He said the churches in Macedonia then gave, and look at how they gave. Okay, this is one church. They call this ministering to the saints, and I'll show you that here in just a second. But watch this. Verse 2 tells how they gave, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and I wish you'd underline the word deep poverty. The churches that he said gave in Macedonia in their need were poor. They were nothing like churches in America. Nothing. They weren't just poor, they were in deep poverty. You say, well, if you're that bad off, how can you give? Right? When I was down in Mexico and Guadalajara, they said some of the workers, I think, make a total of $1 an hour. Can you imagine $8 a day? Yet when the missionary took me to McDonald's, the prices were the same. It wasn't like everything was cheaper there. The poverty there was amazing. People living in cardboard boxes all over the city and everything. It's hard to see true poverty here in the States, because we've got welfare, we've got all types of, you know, assistance and everything else. You want to see true poverty, you need to go to a third world country. It's hard. I'm not saying it's not here. I'm saying it's hard to see it here. They were in deep poverty, And that needs to be. And then notice verse 3, for to their power, he says, I bear record, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves. Do you see that word, those three words, beyond their power? They gave more than they could afford. They gave beyond their ability to see how their budget was going to make. When they found out a Christian church that Paul had started needed help, how poor they were. In other words, they didn't give what was left over. They gave beyond their power. Now, just so you know, this is the basis of Faith Promise Missions. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. You say, why do you call it Faith Promise Missions? Because if you're going to give beyond your power, something God speaks to your heart about, you'd have to do that by faith. Right? You say, well, where's that in the Bible? Here we go. Go over to, look at chapter 10 and look at verse 15. We'll come right back here to chapter 8. I don't know how you can understand biblical, Christian, missionary giving in the Bible without 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. This is not talking about the tithe. If you want to see the tithe, you have to go back to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, right? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in stores, God hath prospered him. That's Sunday giving. That's as God blesses you. That's the tithe. That's back in 1 Corinthians 16. In 2 Corinthians, he's talking about churches that give to help other churches beyond their measure in faith. You say, where's that at? Look at chapter 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure. That is, of other men's labors, then watch this, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. He said, your faith helped us. You gave when you were in deep poverty, and your faith prospered us in our need. It's just like when I just mentioned to you Biz Lurice down in Panama. They're getting ready to build a new building, $129,000. Well, we can't pay for the whole thing, but would our missions account allow us to send $500 extra there? It's a need. You say, $500. You know, we give our missionaries $50 a month. That's like 10 months support. Could we give more? I'm trying to be careful. Well, just give them the whole missions account. I don't think that's good. I don't think I don't feel led to do that, and I've prayed about it, but we'll vote on that tonight. The reason I'm telling you that is that's why we call it Faith Promise Missions, because they gave by faith, and they promised for a year to support their need in their poverty. You say, a year? Okay, go back to 2 Corinthians 8. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at, you say, where do you get that? Look at verse 10, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, watch, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He said, you pledged last year to give, and we want you to... He said, I'm writing to exhort you. I know it's the Word of God, but just from Paul's perspective, he's saying, you did this a year ago. Keep on giving for the year. That's why we say, fill this out based on what does God want you to give in 2021. Put it on here, and then this reminds you of what you promised. Okay, as far as it's, and once again, it's between you and the Lord. And that's why I try to tell you, there's no name on this. I don't know who's giving to faith. Yes, I do. That's not fair. I do look at the offerings. So I do know who gives to what and how much. But this doesn't tell me how much. I learn what you give after you give. And yes, I do look at the records. You do? How can... I know some churches, I'll give as long as you don't look at it. I'm your pastor. The fastest way a Christian backslides is when they quit tithing. How can I help you spiritually if I don't know about your giving? And no, you'll notice I don't put it in the bulletin. But no, I do watch people's givings. And in my 35 years of being in the ministry, before anybody gets out of church, they normally quit tithing. It's So if I'm going to monitor you spiritually and pray for you and help you, yeah, I know what everybody gives in the church. So if you have a problem with that, see me afterwards and I'll explain it to you again. Okay, so there's no name on this. I don't know what you give until after you give. You're not saying, watch this. There's nobody in the church that's given to missions that I was like, that's all. I don't do that. I'm just like, I think you prayed about it. It's what God wanted you to give. And that's what we add up. And that's what we'll give in 2021. Okay? So, here he says it was a pledge for a year. How do you do this? Let's keep on reading. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. He said, you begged us to take it, even though we were poor. You were so excited about giving in your poverty, beyond what your power was able to give. You asked us, no, you can't turn this down. Please take what we want to give to you. One church giving to another in need. Keep on going. It says here that you'd receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Since it's better to give than receive, then we were excited to give to you. Okay, somebody came to our house 3 weeks ago and said, I want to give you something. And my wife and I weren't expecting it at all. We had the money set aside, pay them, and we went to pay them. And they said, nope, I'm giving this from the Lord. And we were like, I said, you don't have to do that. And this is what the person said. You're not going to keep me from getting this blessing. I said, okay. When I said, we have the money, we're prepared to pay you. They said, you're not going to. No, I'm going to give this. Same thing. It's like when somebody says, oh no, y'all are in deep poverty. Y'all don't have the money for this. Whoa, that's a lot of money. He said, you begged us to take it. Why? Because of the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. If I help you and help your church, I know God is going to help me. You say, well, it's a little selfish. Look over at chapter 9. Look at the principle. It says here, look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm just going to stop here. We're going to keep on going, but that is the verse I gave my life to the Lord for. When the preacher got up and preached, I said, if I give a little bit of my life to the Lord, then I would reap a little bit. But if I gave my whole life to the Lord, then I would reap a lot more. God's not going to rip me off. Amen. God's not going to cheat me, because you can't outgive God. If you sow a little, then you get a little back. If you sow a lot, you get a lot back. That's the principle. Look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. It is between you and the Lord, right? I think husband and wife ought to talk about it. That's it. I think husband and wife should talk about it. Whatever you've prayed about and you purpose in your heart, that's what you're supposed to give. It's between you and the Lord. Keep on going. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Very important words. If you give with an attitude, grudgingly, man, stinking money, honey, preachers, all he ever talks about is money. No, that is not true. When I greeted you this morning, I did not say, good money, morning money. How many are money, you money? Did money, you money, have money, ape money, good money, weak money. Every other word out of my mouth is not money. I'm glad you're catching it. But that's what people say. Because they're covetous and materialistic and they do not understand. You want to know something technical? One out of every five verses in your Bible is on possessions and money. If you wanted to know proportionate sermons, I probably am guilty of definitely not preaching on money enough. If I did, one out of every five sermons would be on money. It's that much in your Bible. No, I don't preach too much on money. But anytime you hear that, oh, stinking grudgingly, all right, I'll give. Good grief. Is there ever any enough?
I mean, I already told him when I'm giving to missions last year, now Biz Lorese is building a church. Good grief. Are we going to give to every missionary? You understand the grudgingly, the attitude? He says, if you give with an attitude, grudgingly, and what's the other word? Necessity, right? Okay, I guess I will, or God won't bless me. You can't. God sees your heart when you give. And God sees if you're excited about it or not, but you cannot come to the offering plate and give with an attitude.
All right. Preacher said he sees the giving. Don't want him to think I'm backslidden. Whatever.
You know what I mean? And then it just, I've heard so many things through the years. God says, do not give that way. I'm going to show you what happens if you do, but how does God want you giving? Because you say, preacher, what's this have to do? 2 Corinthians 9 tells how they gave in 2 Corinthians 8. How do you give beyond your power and when you're in poverty? Because the last part of verse 7, watch this. It says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's all about your attitude. What's cheerful mean? A hilarious giver. A hilarious giver says, I don't have enough to make ends meet, but God touched my heart about this. It's $15 more than I can afford. You know what's funny? I can't wait to see how God blesses this. That's a hilarious giver. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just doing what God... In one church we were at, we don't do it here, and you don't have to start it. But we had one guy in the church. He used that verse, and every time that offering plate was passed, every time he put his offering in, he always turned it over so nobody could see what he was giving. He'd go, glory to God, and pass it. It was a reminder to say, what I'm giving. Nobody here has 10% of your money that you don't know what you're supposed to do with. Boy, praise the Lord, Pastor taught on tithing. We've had 10% of our income on our living room table for 3 months, and we're just like, man, all bills are paid and all the fun we've had and all the entertainment. Now look at all this money. What do we got? Tithe. Of course. Thank you, preacher. That's great. Everybody here could spend your tithe on something else. You give by faith because God told you to, right? Same thing with above your tithe giving to the needs, the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. It's God loves a cheerful giver. And when you give by faith, it's like, look, I have not done it here because we have not had any big needs. At our church in Tennessee, when we had a big need, we had two of them, we had Give It All Sundays. We built up for 2 months and we said, we're going to have a Give It All Sunday, and whatever you've made that week, whatever your paycheck was, you just bring it to the church, sign it over to the church, and put it in. My wife and I had never given like that before. I've given like that many times now. That was a new step for me. That took a lot of faith. We were scared when we gave, but we did it because our pastor led us that way. But whatever you make in a week, you sign it over, you put it in the plate, and that goes for the big need that's there at the church. I haven't done that here because I'm just tickled when everybody tithes. Amen. People probably freak out if I had to give it all here. They're pretty common. We just haven't done one in our church. God loves a cheerful giver. Notice verse 8. Here we go. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God says when you give properly, He gives you His grace. You say, what's grace? Grace is the desire to keep on serving the Lord. And when you get proud, it's like, my money, it's my life. And God says, then you don't get my grace because you're proud. God resists the proud. He strong arms the proud. Get away from me. Right? James chapter 4. So when you humble yourself and you say, you know what, Lord? When you give properly, you get God's grace and you get a desire to go forward for the Lord. That's why I tell people, look, I know you're supposed to put 10% of your money in the offering plate. That's a tithe. Then in offerings, there's something you're supposed to give to missions. I don't know what it is. Well, I can't give anything. You couldn't give a penny? Hogwash. Child can give a penny. No, there's something you're supposed to give above the tithe. Tithes and offerings. Now, you pray about it, and you figure out what God wants you to do. You're not going to stand before me someday. But as a pastor, I'm trying to encourage you to give what God wants you to give. All right? So, here we go. That's I wish you could take those and look at them. Let's go back to chapter 8. Ready? Here we go. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped. And boy, if you underline this, they did two things, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. You can't give above your means and above your power when you're in deep poverty unless you give yourself to the Lord first. That's how they gave to the Lord. That's how, Lord, how do you give yourself to the Lord? Well, first of all, you got to be saved. Then you realize God created me, God bought me, God saved me, and I belong to God. So, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. So out of what you've given me, steward, remember that? We're managing God's affairs and possessions that he gives us. Lord, what do you want to give me to give you back? And it is there God, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Then God spoke to them, said, okay, now this is what I want you to give. And notice they did two things. They gave themselves to the Lord, and then it says what? And unto us by the will of God. Spiritual leadership does make a difference. That's why I've told people, you can't be right with God and not right with your pastor. Nobody here has to be bowing at my feet. Nobody has to. But you can't sit in church and hate my guts either, or you won't get anything out of the message. In the Bible, they gave themselves to the Lord and then to the spiritual leadership. It took both. Preacher, he's encouraging us to give to missions because in the Bible, that's what they did. But you give yourself to the leadership. Preacher, what do you think? And if you need help, you know I'm here for you. And I will. I'll help you. But you can't set yourself in opposition to the leader and grow spiritually. You can still go to church, okay? But I've watched that through the years. There's people, muscles grinding the whole time I'm talking, face turning red. I've seen all of that. Well, I was preaching on the King James Bible in one church one time, and I... And one person sitting way back there in the pew sat there. And when I hit, this is God's word, God's pure word. He started going, no, 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 no. So I had no, no, no going on over here. Then I hit another point. I said, God predetermined his word in heaven and it always has been. And a woman over here, she started going, oh, yes, oh, yes. So I had no, 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 oh, yes, oh, yes, no, no, no. No, oh yes, oh yeah. And then one more thing started. You say, why would you do that? The people that let the preacher preach and could submit to his authority grew that night. The people that couldn't, didn't. They gave themselves to the Lord. Well, I'm not following a man. They weren't either. They weren't either. They gave themselves to the leadership. Here we go. Keep on going. Insomuch that we desired, Titus verse 6, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Also, grace of what? The grace of giving. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8? God makes grace abound towards you. So, that grace also, look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and so in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's trying to encourage them. Please give what God wants you to give. Look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to do what? To prove the sincerity of your love. You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. And when we give our faithfulness, it proves the sincerity of our love. Giving is a very important aspect of Christianity. God so loved the world that he gave. You'll never give what God gave. But as we give back, it shows our love for the Lord. And people are like, my money, man. It's my... Okay, and I don't know of anybody that has a bad attitude in our church towards it. I really don't. I've been in churches where it was. I've been in churches where people get furious when money's hit on, and they get up in the service and storm out and don't come back for three more months, and, you know, all of that. I'm glad that's not in our church. Amen. But it's good for you to understand. He uses the example of Jesus, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So as this morning I'm trying to describe to you faith, promise, missions, and promising a yearly amount that you'll give in a year is in the Bible. Go to understanding, watch this, Matthew 28. Go to Matthew 28. I won't spend a long time here. We covered a little bit of this last week. I've heard preaching on missions every year at least once, sometimes twice, since I've been saved. When I was at Hiles Anderson College, I must have surrendered every year to go to the mission field. I surrendered every time somebody said, God needs this, the Lord needs this, the Lord, I'll be... Pfft. You say, well, how come you're not a missionary? I'm doing the last thing I surrendered to. Amen? So, look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Here we go. Look at 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, go us, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So God says the gospel is three things: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God says he's with us as a church. I'm with you always until the end of the world, as you do what I told you, as you get the gospel out and support missionaries all over the world. I'm with you. If you are not going to be a soul winner, if you are not going to support missions, there are churches that do that. And I don't believe God's power, and God helps those churches. Until, you know, I've heard so many preachers say, if your church is struggling financially, start giving to missions, and God will bless your church. Give beyond your power. As a church now, I'm talking, oh, we can't afford, we're just barely keeping the lights on. Give to missions and let God bless your church. God will be with you and you'll see his presence. You say, why is that important? When you know that we've been told to carry out the Great Commission, now go to Matthew 4, 19. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Wonderful verses that you should have marked in your Bible. Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Have you ever looked at that verse? I love just the simplicity of our Bible. You can't follow Jesus without learning to win souls. Read it again. Follow me, and I will make you. I will start you in the process of helping you lead people to Christ. And if you are not interested in souls, if people dying and going to hell does not bother you, then you're not following Christ. That's the hard truth of Matthew 4:19. I didn't say you'll lead 1,000 people to Christ. But if you follow Jesus, he will make you a soul winner. He'll make you a fisher of men. And that's why what scares me is when Christians set themselves. We had one guy in Missouri. I'd go to the men and I'd say, hey, when would you like to go soul winning? When would you like to go soul winning? When would you like to go soul winning? One guy in the church said, I don't do that, not going to, ever. You don't ever have to ask me again. When that guy set himself against soul winning, I understand being scared. I understand not having done it. I understand all of that. But when you set yourself against soul winning, read John 15. God's going to cast you forth to be burned. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but your Christianity becomes worthless. Matthew 4:19, I think, is a powerful verse. If you follow the Lord Jesus, he will help you be a soul winner, and he will lead you in that direction. With that in mind, now go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This, if you care about people dying and going to hell, would be why you would give to another church. It'd be why you would give beyond your power, why you would, okay, Lord, I'll trust you for it. This is a spiritual matter. It's not, you know, who has the most money. I know you're not thinking that way, but this is if you follow Christ, he'll make you a fisher of men. Look at Acts 1:8. Ought to be marked in your Bible. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then you have Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Watch this on Acts 1:8. Very important. If you'll yield to the Holy Spirit of God, He'll fill you and give you His power. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will care about people dying and going to hell. That's all I get out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. People talk, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Are you leading people to Christ? Are you passing out gospel tracts? Are you knocking on doors? Because if you are filled with God, you will care about what God cares about the most, and that's people dying and going to hell. Acts 1:8 is the basis of missions. That's why, let's come back around now to faith promise. I can say we as a church need to give, you know, remember this stuff, right? We need to give collectively to missions overseas. And if you don't, I don't think what you make is supposed to come into play. I literally think you're supposed to pray, Lord, what would you have me give next year? And that's the Lord speaking to your heart. And I just don't have it. That is not the Bible example. They were in deep poverty. There's something God wants you to give if you care about souls dying and going to hell. Out of 5 people that die every second, I said something last week, I was a little high, 7, 5 die a second. 3 go to hell. More people die and go to hell every second than go to heaven. That's statistically from the missionaries, by the way. If you know that, then why wouldn't you give to someone who's going to go overseas and not save the animals, but they're going to save souls? Faith promise missions. I believe if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you care about people dying and going to hell. You may not be a soul winner yourself. You may not be to that point yet. But you do, you're interested in supporting. Ooh, some of you, you've come to me about other missionaries and you said, you know, this person's a missionary. We don't support them, Pastor. There's a lot of missionaries we don't support. And some of you support that missionary through our church, even though we as a church don't. Because I'll say, I don't know that we could do that, but if you want to give every week to them, you can give through the church and we'll put it on your giving record. Remember what church planners, global church planners, Panners. That was 2 years ago. Some of you were so impressed with that mission. We took him on as a missionary, but not their board. I think there's 4 people in our church that said, they start a lot of churches. They're getting a lot of people saved. And some of you give additionally to them personally. I don't have a problem with that. That's what we do as a church. Faith Promise Missions. I tried to give you an introduction this morning of 2 Corinthians 8:9. It's very biblical what we're doing. This is nothing that we denominationally came up with or anything. We do it because it's the way they did it in New Testament times. So I would tell you, this last time you'll hear about it from me for this year, I might remind you about the card. But I'm not going to preach on missions next week and the week after that. This is the last time this year, probably. But could I please encourage you scripturally to pray, what does God want me to give in 2021? Circle yearly, monthly, or weekly, and put it in the offering plate. Everybody can give something above the tithe. Everybody can give something. Make sure it's what the Lord wants you to do. I wanted you to be having an understanding of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. And the truth, I don't think this was so complex that everybody couldn't understand it.